Well, I want to remind you, I just thought heavy on my heart this morning, that as people come to church, may you not just think it's a spectator sport, that all we do is come and sit and watch a few people sing and a few people, somebody speak and different announcements being made. I was so blessed by the choir, only a few seats that were open in there. And I challenge you, if you got a gift of singing, that you talk to Brother Dan and inquire about getting in the choir. But it's not just a spectator sport. I hope that you find some people before you leave, maybe out in the parking lot, in the lobby, down before you get your kids from one of the classes or something, you find somebody who needs encouragement. You say, well, how am I supposed to know? Just talk to a lot of them. One of them probably does. Because as one old preacher said, everybody, you either are having a bad, be nice to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. And that is never more true than it is right now. And so I challenge you, the Bible teaches that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And so what we need to do as individuals is, even if it's not altogether natural for us, come out of ourselves and find somebody that we can be an encouragement to. God knew what He was doing when He put the church in action. I'm thankful for everybody that's joining us, however they're joining us, via live stream or radio, or some will go back and watch the archived message. But if we're able to, there's nothing like gathering together. Because for one thing, you get to hear people sing about the same truth that you communicated in song. You get to hear other people talk about "We Preach Christ" or sing about "We Preach Christ," or you hear a group of ladies sing about the amazing grace of God. And so I just challenge you not to let it be a spectator sport, that you instead find some people today that need encouragement and give that to them, if you would. Just a word or two about what Brother Daniel mentioned next week. Of course, Ambassador Baptist College, it's a wonderful place. I think the choir's having the day off. I think that the ensemble from the college will be up in the choir loft. They'll start our service off, so the choir gets to sit out there like normal folk. They don't even have to come up here in front of all of us. But and I want you to hear Brother Beal. It'll be a great, he's a great man of God. I trust that it'll be a blessing to you, so we're looking forward to that. And then one last thing, he mentioned about our little Pinewood Derby cars. You know, we've been mentioning that a good bit. We're planning to have a lot of fun with that. Challenge all of you to get one and make it up. There's all kinds of videos online. You can find all kinds of designs. And you say, oh, I'm too busy, too old, too dignified, too this, too that. Oh, phooey. We're not any of that. We might as well have a good time if you're inclined to. If you don't want to, on that night of April the 3rd, you don't have to participate. You can come over to the Family Life Center. We'll have some snacks and have some things going on. You can just fellowship and watch some of the others that are putting forth, and we'll have a good time together. So those are just a little additions to the announcements, and trust that'll be a blessing to you. Would you open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1? Joshua chapter 1, as you begin, we'll read here as Joshua is beginning his ministry officially, as he's been assisting Moses, but he's going to start. As you find your place in Joshua chapter 1, I did hear this story about the preacher was greeting people out in the lobby, just like I'll do afterwards. Amy and I will be back there, and Valentine's Day tomorrow, that's a little public service announcement for all of you that are married, or all of you who wish you were. Like one fellow said, didn't know what happiness was, so I got married, and it was too late. But to all of you that, if you are married or wish you were, then don't forget, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, so do something about it. I don't know how to be any more clear to you men. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Like one fellow said, well, I told her we got married, I loved her. If it ever changed, I'll let her know. That will not fly tomorrow, so better do better than that. But Amy and I will be back in the lobby. We've got some little Valentine's candies for all the kids. If you come see us out in the lobby, we'll be there, and you don't even have to wait in line. Just come, and we'll see one of us, and we'll give you something. I've got a basket back there. But preacher was out in the lobby greeting people as they went out, just like I will a little bit ago. And this one little boy looked up and tugged on his suit coat, and he said, hey, he said, when I get old and I get money, I'm going to give you some of it. And the preacher said, well, that's nice, thank you. And he pat him on the head and went on. But the longer the day went, in the afternoon, he went to supper and he went to make some visits and different things. He said, well, what that little boy was meaning? He said, that's strange. Well, sure enough, they got back to that night. He didn't think of it before the service. He getting ready to preach. Then he caught him and his family out in the lobby. He said, buddy, son, to call his name, he said, I appreciate you saying that. You're going to give me money when you get older. He said, yep, when I get older, I make money, I'm going to give you some of it. He said, well, that is nice. And he was thinking of all the reasons. I said, man, I just really, really appreciate that. He said, why would you do that? He said, well, my dad said, you're the poorest preacher we've ever had. So If you're going to give me money, don't add the last part to it. Just give it to me and smile and go on. So Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says, verse number 7. Remember here, Joshua is being commissioned by God. Moses is dead. He tells him in verse 1 or 2 somewhere there, Moses, my servant is dead. Now get up and go do something. That's the West Virginia version. I'm sorry, that's not quite like that. But arise, go over this Jordan. And so he's telling him some things that I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. Now you got to remember how intimidating this would be for Joshua, because Moses was trained in Egypt. Moses knew the ins, the outs. He was a leader that had been maybe born to be such, but certainly been trained to be such. And he was one that took those two and a half million Jews and led them in meekness. And so it'd be very easy for Joshua to get overwhelmed by the greatness of this new task that was set before him. And God settles his heart. And he tells him how he's going to have wisdom, how he's going to have the ability to go forward and do what God's going to call upon him to do. He tells him, verse 6, be strong, of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land. But we see in verse number 7, our text will be verse 7, 8, and 9. He says this, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, verse number 8, which is very familiar to most of us in this room, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to preach for just a little while about this, what's needed in your life. Joshua needed the Lord, and Joshua needed instructions from the Lord, and we see that he talks about the word of God that shall not depart out of his mind, out of his mouth. We'll pray and ask the Lord's blessings on this message, and I trust that you would open your heart and let the Lord do something. I'm overwhelmed by the realization that one of these Sundays will be the last Sunday we meet. And it could be for any of us this given week because of death, but I'm not speaking of that. I'm just convinced that one of these days it's going to be the last Sunday before the Lord returns with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. I believe that one of these days, and it's bound to be soon. And so I'd like to give you some help before that time comes so that we'll know how to navigate in case we all die of old age. Because that's the other possibility. And so I'm trusting and praying and asking the Lord to bless us today. Father, be with us is our prayer. Help us open our hearts. And Lord, please fill us, we pray, and give us your direction and instruction. In Jesus' name, amen. First year I went away to college was West Liberty State College in the northern panhandle of West Virginia. And so I went there looking for an education degree to teach history, and I was getting involved in some things there my first semester, and this was before God called me to preach, and I surrendered to do such. And I called Dad to see whether I ought to get involved with one of the fraternities. They had fraternities for the guys, sororities for the girls, and I said, you think that'd be a good idea? And he, on the other end of the phone, he said, well, John, I don't think I'd get involved in anything too heavy that doesn't put Christ and His Word first place. So they may not be a bad thing, and they certainly would not have been. You wouldn't have had to be involved in bad stuff. But he said, I don't think I'd get involved in anything that didn't put Christ in the Bible first and foremost. If it's got any other agenda, I would steer from it and do something else. Like follow the advice is given, I want to see here how Joshua is told by God how to live and how to keep the Word of God preeminent in his life. He says, this Word of God, this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, meaning that you won't forget this. It needs to stay right in there. You need to stay right there, deep down and up top. It needs to stay and be ready for you. And I see a great dearth in our land of the Word of God that you're hopefully holding in your lap. Would have been a time when most of the people in our region, in our nation for that matter, would have known the stories of Daniel and the lion's den, David and Goliath, Moses. I remember when I was a kid, there was a commercial on TV for Kroger, and it had a fellow that was supposed to be Moses come out, and it was a two-for-one sale and made a play on two by two by two. And now I would say that they wouldn't put that on there, so many people would not even know what they were referencing. There was a time when the book of God, not that everybody followed it, but that they knew what it was. And I think there's a dearth of God's word in our land. But I see this morning, not only is there a dearth of God, and we take the Ten Commandments down from different courthouses around the country, and we certainly have for decades now. But more importantly, as I look at you today, I see the important or the sad state of not only taking the Ten Commandments down from the courthouse, but how about our house? Have we taken the Word of God out to read it and give it to our children and teach them in the way when they rise us up and when they sit us down? Have we been like Joshua was commanded by God? Have we said this book of the law will not depart out of our mouth? Yes, I'm concerned that teachers aren't allowed to have the Word of God any longer on their desk. But what might be more concerning and what might have precipitated that problem is that we left our Bibles on our coffee tables and gathered dust from week to week to week and didn't get them out and live them. Today, I'd like for all of us to get a renewed vision and a renewed love for the Word of God. And so as we look at this, I'll give you three quick points that I believe will be a blessing to you. Verse number 7 says that only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. At that point, the law was all that was given. Didn't have the New Testament, didn't have the rest of some of the poetical books and different things, but the law was given. So what he's saying is, and as you read in verse number 7, you say, I want you to observe the Word of God. And I want to give you this first point. Number 1, stick to it. I see number 1, stick to it, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. As he says, we see that thou mayest prosper whither thou goest. He says, don't go over to the right hand or to the left. As John chapter 6, verse number 68 says, Lord, when Peter was asked about whether he was going to follow Christ, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Listen, folks, we don't have anywhere else to go except for this book. You know I'm a big believer in one of the ways that we're going to win people to Christ in this day and age is for you to live so close to that book that when problems come and when difficulties mount that you're able to navigate through there with the help of God and you're able to be a testimony to people who are also hurting and they're able to look at you and say, what's different about that? And I'm a big believer also, you live so close to the Lord, when you tell your friend, your coworker, somebody that's close to you, that you say, I'm praying for you through the death of your loved one, through the difficulty you're having, or through the struggle, they'll say to themselves, there's something different about him, so I must believe what he says. My friend, we need to get this book into us. We ought to stick to it. We don't have anywhere to go. It gives the mind of God. It gives the direction for men. It gives preparation for heaven. And it gives help for the hurting. It is the Word of God. A story I read some time ago was about Henry Ford as he drove in a long limousine car across a pass. Somebody who was in one of his cars on the side of the road, and he made the driver stop, and he got out, and he asked the fellow what was happening, and he told him, and he instructed him. He said, you get inside and turn it again, and Ford was under the hood and fixed some things, and it started. The guy that was the stranded motorist said, well, what are you in this big limousine stop by to help me, a common man here? He said, I'm the one that built those cars. I didn't build them to sit alongside the road. I built them to go. Now, my friend, God's the one that created us. And he's also the one that sustains us. And he's the one that equips us. And he's the one that guides us. He didn't make us to stay stranded on the side of the road. He wants to give us his instruction through his word. The problem is I don't read it enough. The problem is I don't delve into it enough. And we see here that we need to stick to the word of God. As we have problems in our lives and we say, I don't know what to do. My friend, have we ever considered going to the book? Brother Steve taught in Sunday school today. I sat as far back as I could. Not that I wanted to get that far from him, but I thought I'd get a taste of the other people's life. I listened to Sunday school in here. And Brother Steve was talking about the need to not only read the Bible, but get into it. We claim to be Bible believers. And I'm not here to condemn or put down anybody, but you'd be amazed how many people who say that I believe the Bible, but they've never given it one read all the way through. Listen, folks, I wouldn't want to say I was a believer in something if I hadn't read all the material. And we need to stick to the Word of God. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Not only do you need to stick to it, but verse number 8 says, let not the word depart out of thy mouth. That you need to not only stick to it, but you also need to let it stay in you. Shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Colossians in the New Testament goes on to say in Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell richly, let dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If you're a farmer, you know that a slow drizzling rain is much better than a hard downpour, because that hard downpour oftentimes just run off and get into the streams but won't get into the ground. And my friend, we're needing to let the Word of God slowly drizzle down in on us. Meditate therein day and night. Let me see if this ever happens to you. We'll be walking around our house and doing something, various activities or something, and I'll yell out a word or yell out something to Amy, just yell a name at random, Todd. And she'll say, what are you talking about? I said, remember that family we were talking about? We couldn't remember what that guy's name was that used to live down the street from the church. His name was Todd. She looked at me and say, that was 2 hours ago. I said, I know, but it's been dwelling back in that cerebellum or one of those parts of my brain that I don't know what any of them do. But it finally landed on shore, and I remembered, Todd. Usually I remember those things about 10 minutes too late. Doesn't matter anymore. It's like your mom. They talk about moms giving good advice. It's just too late. You know, when they see that kid hit smack into something, be careful. Yeah, mom, why didn't you tell me that 5 minutes before when I was going to run into there? And so that name finally comes to you. Ever have that happen to you? Oh, yeah. Sit up in the middle of bed. Oh, I know what it was. You wake your wife up just to tell her. Now, she was mad at you because you wouldn't remember. Now she's mad at you because you woke her up. Rough life. Happy Valentine's Day. But that somehow that I don't know how to describe. I don't have the intelligence to figure this out. But somehow God's made our brain so that it mulls around back in there and finally comes out. It was back there. It just needed to be found. Now, on a more serious note, I want there to be enough Bible back in there. Not only back in there, but down in here. So that when situations come up, that's what I run to. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Don't turn to the right hand. Don't turn to the left. Stick to it. Not only stick to it, let it stay in you. Now, folks, I'm not giving you easy advice this morning. You say, oh, it sounds good. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Christian. I want to know the Bible. Well, then if I want to know the Bible, I got to get in the Bible. And it's not good enough that I read it one time through like another book that you put on the shelf. We've got to let it stay in us. And not only see that, but we look in verse number 8 and we see the success that comes from it. At the end of verse number 8, it says, the last phrase, and then, when's then? Well, then is when you don't let it depart out of your mouth. You'll observe to do all that's written in therein. It'll make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. I said, number one, not only should you stick to it, number two, let it stay in you, but number three, I give you this, that success comes from you. Say, oh, wait a minute, preacher. I know people that know the Bible, and they certainly are not successful. Well, it might depend on what we deem success as. Because if we're meaning that they've gotten their financial goals met and they're now got a net worth of what they desired to have, there's lots of people that did that, and they're as far away from God as they possibly could be. So if we're looking at just at the financial aspect, then you've got me. But when the Bible talks about success, it brings along the idea of someone being an expert in understanding, wisdom, or also known as prudent. So there's lots of people in this old world that are very successful in how they're handling the situations and the problems and the difficulties of life, but they may not ever make it on a list of top 10 earners. But the Bible says that when I keep the Word of God in me and I let it dwell in me richly in all wisdom, and I don't turn from the right hand to the left or to the left, then I will have good success. Then God will make my way prosperous. Then I will have good success. I'm saying this morning that success comes from it. It shows me how to be content. Perhaps I'm going to live in a little rental house all of my life. Perhaps I'm going to live in a little 900 square foot house all of my life. Perhaps I'm never going to have what some people deem necessary to be successful. But in God's eyes, you tell me this. Would you rather be that person who lives with their family in a small quarters, but love is there and understanding is there and precious memories are made? Would you rather be in that small house where love is present? Or would you rather be in a mansion with 5,000 square foot that you can't find one another, you don't like one another, and divorces are present, and as soon as a child can, they're going to take off out of there? You tell me which house is more successful. Now, please don't misunderstand that part of the sermon. That doesn't mean the 5 or 6 or 7,000 square foot house. That's not wrong either. I'd rather live in that one too, but just have a happy home there. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Just like I always mention, as long as stuff doesn't have us, take what God has given you. He has given you richly all things to enjoy. Take them, but honor God with your substance and keep the Word of God dwelling in you. And as you keep it in you and you keep it dwelling, you don't turn to the right nor to the left. You keep dwelling on it, then thou shalt have good success. I'm not the only one that gets many friends to come and tell me, my life's falling apart. You have people come tell you the same thing. And I never try to be unkind, and that's not the time to tell the person, well, I'll tell you what you're doing wrong, look at this. That's the time to have a listening ear and a kind spirit and pray with them and help them if you can. But as one old lady put it, people that have Bibles that are falling apart usually have lives that aren't. And so as we get in this book and let this book get in us, we start valuing the things that really matter instead of what the world dictates that I value. If I'm on social media many, many hours a day, all I'm looking is at what the world says I need to have to be successful. But if I'm in the Word of God for that length of time, then what I see is what God says you need to have to be successful. And I don't have to preach at all to this crowd to tell you which one's better off. The one that gets in the Word of God. I saw a plaque at Gatlinburg years ago. We were staying in a cabin there with our family. And the plaque said, I got to the end of life and found out the most important things weren't things. And so this morning, I'm not trying to tell you how you can retire with more money than anybody else has ever thought about. I'm not trying to tell you how to reach your financial goals. There are great resources, and some of which are in this church right here, some good people that could help you with that. How to retire and have more money, enough money, all you want. That's all good. But I am telling you this, that you stay in the Word of God and it will show you how true success is attained. Are you in the book? Three times in this passage that we just read, it said, be strong and of good courage. This book will give you courage for the task that lies ahead that you and I need strength for. We live in a very fearful world. We're afraid to go forward. We're afraid to not go forward. We're just afraid. No wonder the Word of God says, be strong and of good courage. It seems like so much strength is needed to make our way through life. And here we are, short-circuiting our supply by not getting in that book. And I know I preach a lot about being in the book, but the reason I do is it's so important. The world is pulling you from every... Let's take several decades ago. You and I would have gotten more Bible by accident, just in different slogans and sayings and things that were out there in life. Go to somebody's house, there's a Bible verse. Go to a business, there's a Bible verse. Go to a sign maybe somewhere, there's a Bible verse. We'd have got more Bible on accident than now so many Christians are getting on purpose. And so, folks, if we're going to let this book get in us, if we're going to let it dwell richly in us with all wisdom, if we're going to stay in this book, meditate there on day and night, it's going to be intentional. And that's the only way it'll happen. And there's so many folks that I meet, they're beside themselves with fear. Anxiety has crippled them. They say, I don't know how to go forward with this relationship, whether to marry, not marry. They say all these things. And when you get down to the questions, are you in the book? And then they have to turn their head, well, not really. Listen, folks, that's the source that God has given us. It's the needed aspect in your life, and I'm asking you to live by it. Let me tell you what this book gives. If you're here today and you're not on your way to heaven, as Dan mentioned in the song service, that book tells you that you and I are and were sinners and needed a Savior. And that book tells us what His name was, Jesus Christ. It tells of an old rugged cross that He hung on and bled and died and went to a grave and then rose again victoriously. How do you know that? Because this book tells us. Well, why does that book have authority? Because the one that authored this book is the same one that created this world. If you want to know some authoritative information, go to the source. This book tells anybody in this room, if you're not sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, it tells you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's in this book. It also tells a person who's saved, but they've been running away from the Lord. They've been living a life the way they wanted to live. They have been living a life estranged, as it were, and far away from the Lord. This book also says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It tells us to confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my Christian friend that's running from the Lord, not living right, not living close to God, not living at the foot of the cross, this book gives the answer to that, and that is to come home as the prodigal son came home to his father, and his father opened his arms and ran to him and hugged him and kissed his neck. The father would open his arms and say, welcome home, my son. The Word of God tells us that. The Bible tells you how to have wisdom to navigate through this next business deal that you may or may not should do. Seek Him, and He will be found. My friend, our problems can be solved in this book. You say, preacher, you are very, very simplistic. As I already told you, whatever problem in this earth could be solved by the Creator of this earth. And here's the instruction book that He left for us. You see, I'm going to have to look a long time to find it. That may or may not be true. But if it does, you're better off for it. The Word of God. Let's stick to it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here in this room. Everybody needs the Word of God, dear Lord. Perhaps somebody's here and they're not saved. They've never come to that time in their life when they received Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, I pray for them right now that they would understand. They need to get that taken care of. Oh, eternity's too long. As Steve mentioned, Brother Steve mentioned in Sunday school, half of the United States doesn't even believe there is a hell, but whatever our nation believes or doesn't believe doesn't change what this book says. And Lord, there's still a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. I pray if there's one that's unsaved, that today they would be saved. And I pray if there's a Christian in this room, dear Lord, that's been days, maybe even weeks, since they've had time in your book, that today they'd make a holy commitment to you to get back into its pages and let its pages get back into them. Father, bless us now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, would you stand together as the ladies play? Perhaps God spoke to your heart this morning and you need someone to pray with you. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you about that most important aspect or most important decision, that is to be saved. If that's you today, would you step out from your seat and make your way to the nearest aisle and just come? Brother Daniel is right here in front of the pulpit. He would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. How about a Christian? Are you far away from home? Are you far away from God? Are you living in a way that you know is wrong? He knows it's wrong. Would you just come home today? Get right with the good Lord. As they continue to play, perhaps you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized since you got saved. You'd like to come and present yourself this morning, and we do it in a service real soon. I'd like to follow Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Last week, a week before, we had a mom and her son join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Perhaps you say, I need to do that as well. God's been working on my heart. I need to come and present myself for membership. Then would you come? If you have some other need, the altar's open for you. You're welcome to come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be here in God's house, and thank you for joining us today. If you're a guest with us this morning, as Brother Daniel mentioned, please stop by guest services right out in the lobby, the counter at the top you'll see there. We'd love to give you a gift for being our guest. We're so thankful to have Larry Lane, a descendant of our first pastor, and we're thankful to have him in our services today. What a joy, but so good to have each and every one of you. Thank you for being here. We're having tonight a special treat, the Patch Kids are singing tonight, the young people, and if your kids are involved in that, if you'd have them in the Home Builders classroom right off the Family Life Center at 6:15 before the service, and you don't want to miss them coming to sing, I'm secure in my pastoring. I don't mind you coming to hear them sing and not hear me preach. After you get it here, I want you to go ahead and hear me preach, but I don't mind them being the motivation and not me, is what I'm trying to say. So come, please be with us. We'll have a great, great time together tonight at 6:30, but if your kids are singing, 6:15, and we're looking forward to hearing them in all of that. Thank you again for being here. Brother Joe Shaw, would you mind coming and dismiss us in prayer? And Amy and I will slip back to the lobby and get to greet you. And I understand some folks, I mentioned that about finding others and greeting them. Some are a little shy because of sickness and different things. Please don't ever feel bad about that. But we'll be back there. Greet whoever feels welcome. And we want you to know we're so glad that we got to gather together. Look around this crowd. Isn't this a blessing? Amen. I mean, just to be together with people that know the Lord. And what a joy. Brother Joe, please pray for us.
Folks, isn't the Lord good? He has really blessed us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us today in this message. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for providing a place that we can meet together, Lord, and hear good preaching about you, Lord, to get the word out to people in our community, Lord, and tell them about the love of Jesus and what he's done for us, and Lord, how that they can know him in a personal way as their Savior. I pray that you'll continue to bless this church, Lord. Thank you for what you've done here over the last few years, especially, and bless our pastor, Bless all the workers here in the church, and may you continue to bless all our members, Lord, and continue to use us, we pray, in your service. In Jesus' name, amen.